I am Plant on the Line here at thecommentary.ca. Bard on the Beach has opened its 18th season with productions of The Taming of the Shrew, Romeo and Juliet, Julius Caesar, and Timon of Athens. Joining me now is Dean Paul Gibson, an artistic associate at Bard who directs Romeo and Juliet, playing at the main stage at Vanier Park, alternating with The Taming of the Shrew through to the 22nd of September. The website for more information is bardonthebeach.org. This is Mr. Gibson's seventh season with Bard, and I am pleased to welcome him to the Plant on the Line program. Dean Paul Gibson, good morning, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you. Good morning.
How has the weather been cooperating for you all there at Vanier Park?
Well, I think, as far as I understand, when they were in early tech days for Taming of the Shrew, when they just moved down to the site, always right after Kids Fest, unfortunately, it always seems to rain dreadfully through Kids Fest, which isn't very fun for the families and all the children. But just when we moved down to the site, after they started to clear that out, the weather was cooperating beautifully for tech for the company in Shrew. But after Shrew opened, the weather made its annual June turn to the June gloom, if you will, which isn't necessarily a bad thing for a production of Romeo and Juliet, but it's challenging just when you're all outside and you're trying to keep focus for hours upon hours, and sometimes it's you end up being a little bit cold. But it didn't rain torrentially as it has in the past for certain opening nights, which is can create quite havoc and make it very difficult to hear. But other than that, the weather's been sort of typical misty south in June, and I'm happy to see that it's making a bit of a turn today.
Today it is, yeah. This is your seventh year with Bard. What is it about Bard? As a director. What is it about Bard that keeps you coming back each and every season?
Oh, goodness. Well, it's a company that, I mean, you know, its particular mandate, obviously Shakespeare, keeps me going back the year after year. The love of theater, you know, and the opportunities that Bard has provided, and the fact that I am happily invited back every year, which is a great thing for an artist. But the combination, it really is the combo platter. It is the combination of the Shakespeare, the festival itself, the nature of what it does, the integrity of the art, the evolution of Bard as a company over the last 18 years, and being part of that in my sort of 15, 16 years association now with that company as an actor and now as a director. So, and then the challenges that I'm presented with to put on these challenging plays, you know, and what that presents for me as an artist, as a director, and as an actor, to do the best that I possibly can, according to my and Christopher's sort of sensibility or philosophy about what theater should or should not be.
One thing that I notice about all you people that work there at Bard is that you all seem to want to be there, and that you enjoy being there.
Mm.
Is that correct?
That's
assumption?
Correct. I think it is a company that that both Christopher, myself, and many of the employees there work diligently to create an atmosphere which is family oriented, you know, and within that, of course, in any dynamic of any family, it's sometimes challenging, but to make people feel good and that they want to be there. And you're treated well as a company member and by extension as a patron, witnessing what we do. So I think and Christopher is hugely responsible for that because he's such a lover of it. He really is, and he loves to go down and be a coach and cheer everyone on to do the best that they can do. So I think it's a company and that takes particular pride in taking care of the people that work at Bard and making sure that it is a happy environment.
Does it surprise you that there are so many people that do come to your shows, that there is so much interest in Shakespeare after so many years?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's interesting. I was reading an article not too long ago in the Toronto Star about the demise of several outdoor Shakespeare festival in the greater Toronto area, and I was obviously saddened to see that, and it's a bit of a perplexity to me why it is the case. I mean, we are lucky that we are a destination festival that is within the city of Vancouver, so that's a great thing because you don't have to go to a particular secluded area like Stratford or Shaw or one of the other festivals. You still get to remain right here in our city, and within, you know, 10 or 15 minutes you can be down at Bard and be in your home, which is in the heart of the city or wherever in the greater Vancouver area. But so that makes it highly accessible, which is a huge part of the success of that. And yeah, I mean, Shakespeare, who'd have thunk that, you know, 18 years later and 80,000 patrons strong at this point, you know, that it would have such interest and such a love affair. But I think it's because of the particular unique setting of Bard and the work that goes on down there. I mean, you're getting the best that BC has to offer. And by that, I mean you do get to go down and take your picnic lunch and sit and have a picnic before, watch the sun go down on the backdrop, and enjoy some of the greatest plays ever written in the English language. So, yeah, it's a fantastic phenomenon. It's a cultural event and has been encouraged and allowed to evolve both in its content and in its scope.
When did you first encounter Romeo and Juliet? Was that in school?
Yes, in school. Yeah, absolutely. On the curriculum. I mean, I had no clue, no idea about what, you know, it was a foreign language to me. And I did not grow up in a family that sort of, you know, encouraged reading great literature or anything like that. I come from a layman's background and working class people. We certainly knew how to have fun and entertain each other, but Shakespeare wasn't really part of the thing. So we did. I was exposed to it in high school, and The Taming of the Shrew, for that matter. And my love affair didn't really begin to blossom until I had an experience working on a little bit of Shakespeare with an old colleague from White Rock, where I grew up, and working with the Arena Theater Festival at that time, run by Terry Kelly and Anna Hagen, and they did The Merry Wives of Windsor that year, and I was working as a production assistant slash actor extra guy, and I got to experience and listen to it night after night, and work with other people who were like-minded and had a great passion for it, and that was my introduction into the professional world and into Shakespeare's world, which has grown ever since. Now, encountering the play now as a professional, my first time was with Bard in 1993. That is the first time as an actor I encountered the play. And that's where I started to learn from Douglas Campbell, who directed that production, and all of his notions and ideas about the play after directing several productions. And then again as an actor at the Playhouse several years ago, playing Mercutio this time. So it was great. So having been in it now twice, I welcome the opportunity to take on the directing of the piece.
And each time you read that play, and each time that you assemble your actors together on stage to sort of block it out and so on and so forth, does something new come out of it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a remarkable thing, Shakespeare's words. My colleague Miles Potter talked about that one of the luncheons that we had to do. He directed Taming of the Shrew. And he talked about each time you get inside one of Shakespeare's plays or great speeches or whatever, he said it's like a well that you break through, you break the ground and you find this deep well, and then somehow if you go to the depth of that well and you break through again, there seems to be another bigger one, and the possibilities and the scope of the humanity that is captured by these plays and themes, etc., is seemingly endless. And when you have the opportunity to do that kind of exploration, both as an actor or a director, to explore these notions that are hundreds of years old and since began time began, for that matter, you know, going back to ancient times, it's so rewarding when some of the most beautiful and simple passages can move us and say so much about who we are as human beings. It's deeply gratifying. We're very lucky.
Were you involved in, how involved were you in the casting process for Romeo and Juliet?
Very involved.
The actors that you cast in the roles, do your previous experiences with Romeo and Juliet, do they color what you're looking for this time around?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because now having listened to the play, within being inside the play, for a couple of times and over so many different performances and of that play, yeah, you start to begin to hear things, and you hear certain things the way you want to hear them. Then you make decisions about, well, this is what I would like to hear it, and so when you actually have the opportunity then to make those decisions, the artistic sort of direction of the play, which way it's going to go in terms of your collaboration of all the artists you involved in making those decisions, both the design team and the actors. I mean, my historical relationship with that play informs all of those decisions.
Well, the actors in the play, talk to me about some of the performers in this production. What do they bring to this play that you're particularly happy with? And I guess the two main important ones, Romeo and Juliet, I suppose.
Youth. They bring youth. They bring a quality, an energy, if you will, that is so marvelously youthful. It reminds us all, in my humble opinion, it reminds us of the vitality of what that is. It reminds us about the first time, which I've spoken often about with this particular show, the first time we experience what we believe to be true love, and capturing that through youthful eyes is a fantastic thing. I think it reminds us, for those of us who are now young at heart, we are reminded about that, and now we get to sit back and witness, perhaps with a certain shade of cynicism, you know, and knowledge that how that love changes and first times change, and we have to recreate it, or we forget about it, or it doesn't somehow. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily encounter everybody. But when we have had the opportunity to experience that and then be reminded about that in the context of such a play as Romeo and Juliet, I think it can only transport us or take us back and remind us about that vitality and what it is to be and how incredible that first time can be for many of us.
I was just thinking, you know, I read this first in high school. This is probably the first Shakespeare play that I ever read. Is that common that this is the first play that they're introduced to in schools?
From what I understand, I think, I think it's the earlier grades in high school that they go to, that start with Romeo and Juliet. I remember reading perhaps Taming of the Shrew in grade 11. And Julius Caesar, you know, a more complicated play. I think that was in the latter part of my high school years. But Romeo and Juliet was certainly earlier in that period.
Bob Fraser plays a role that you've played in the past. What insights were you able to give him, having donned the role prior?
Well, you know, if you know Bob Fraser, if you know him as an actor, and as a human being, just as a civilian, we like to say, he's a fearless performer, and that's something that is one of his greatest gifts. and that's something we can hope for and want in a lot of our actors and company, because you have to be. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to go on stage and expose and show and open your heart for people to hopefully feel something or relate to or tell a story. And with Bob, you know, having worked with him, known him since school days, and then also now having worked with him and gone on the journey of Hamlet with him, you know, he's one of the hungriest actors I know, and he's always looking for more information. Can I do it better? Can I do it better? And he's the first one to say, that wasn't good enough. So he has high expectations of himself, as well as the team around him. And when you have those kind of performers, they only make you better as an artist, and they make better actors and better directors, because they demand the best of you. So I was able to bring, obviously, my particular sort of notions and ideas about Mercutio and what I've learned about him over the years, and certainly playing him. And Bob was very respectful of that, and he was very complimentary. I remember when he did come to see Romeo and Juliet, and he liked what I did with Mercutio, so he was intimidated, and I thought, oh God, you've got nothing to be intimidated about. This is a role that you can make your own and fly with it. And I'm happy to report that he has and does. He has taken every little piece that I could give him, and he takes it and he runs with the ball quicker and faster than anyone I know.
I mentioned earlier that this is the first Shakespeare play that students are likely that they likely encounter in school. Do you think some of the fighting in Romeo and Juliet, do you think that makes it attractive to young people, as well as these things about love and so on?
The fighting?
Yeah. This production has I guess Nicholas Harrison, he's staged
that. Yes, I'm fight director at Bard, yes, that's correct. And I've worked with him on several of my shows as a fight director and choreographer. But I'm always sort of, him and I always have great dialogues about that, because it's so hard to compete with the film and the video and the internet now, and what they do with special effects to make fights look so hyper-realistic. And I think that's challenging for young people, because they're exposed to that. So all of a sudden you see a stage fight that is carefully choreographed. I think it's very hard to make them look angry and real, you know, because you have to maintain safety within, because they're using real weapons and they make real sounds and they could potentially damage somebody. So these actors are in every day rehearsing their fights before they do the show, making sure that safety is uppermost in all of their minds and present while they are making sure they're connected to the rage that pushes somebody to want to kill somebody in the theater. I mean, the fight thing, I don't know. I mean, wasn't it just a month ago that we read about teenagers
stabbing
each other,
right,
down by the Main Street Sky train station, and what was it all over? Jealousy? Over a relationship?
Right.
Girlfriend? It just seems very ironic that happened at the time when we were in the middle of this kind of rehearsal about some grudge, some anger. And nobody, I mean, in Romeo and Juliet, nobody even talks about what it is between the Capulets and the Montagues. Nobody knows. All they know is it's been for a long time. You know, so it's so strange what drives people to that kind of violence, and of course, deeply saddening for anybody involved in it. So when the kids come to see it, I'm hope that they've done their homework and they're able to contextualize that, and also take the bigger point and greater idea that it is not the way to solve problems and issues, because it just ends badly.
The show's already opened. Is your job as a director, is that done now? Do you just watch from the sidelines, or are you still giving the actors notes?
Yes, it is. It is done. My job, I have given birth, and the child is walking, right now as we speak, and that's a good thing, and it will run, fall, and do on its all on its own merit now. I have to let it go, but I mean the big part. I mean also because of my association with Bard, many directors go in and they direct the show and they leave after opening night. But I live here. I have a long association with the company and I work closely with Christopher, so I'm able to check in on the play. I also get show reports every day, so I know what is happening in terms of timing and the barometer of the show. I can see by the notes that stage management takes, you know, how the show is continuing to live. And I also charge my actors when I leave with the care of that show to preserve what we have made, what we've discovered, while continuing to let the organic thing happen to it so that they can go deeper and deeper into the roles. Because as we talked about before, it's Shakespeare. And he offers that kind of compelling journey when you get to perform in his plays.
Well, thanks for joining us today. It's been fascinating to talk to you. We've probably talked for much longer, but I'll let you go and break a leg, I suppose.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Dean Paul Gibson, his production that he's directed of Romeo and Juliet, is at the main stage at Bard on the Beach. It alternates with